Lord is good. Let's open our Bibles this morning, all right, to declare the glory of the Lord. Once in a while, I need us to come back to that Colossians chapter 1, which is the center of Christianity. Colossians chapter 1, that's Christianity summarized. I like to say it again, Christianity is not a religion of good works, even though we do good works. Christianity is not a religion of, you know, we are going to heaven, even though we are going. Christianity is not a religion of we know how to get our prayers answered, even though, indeed, God answers our prayers. What is Christianity? It is about a person. It is about following one individual, all right? And we are not ashamed of it, okay? That is what Christianity is. It is about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other thing is secondary to that. Sometimes people tell us that we preach replacement theology. I don't preach replacement theology. If I tell an architect to design a house for me, and he gives me a beautiful design, and I build the house, you say, I replace the design. Did I replace the design? When some things were shadows of things to come, you say, we are doing replacement. What is up with you? We're not doing replacement. We are saying Judaism is a foreshadowing of the real thing. And if you're a Jew and you don't come into Christ, you have missed it. You are trying to pump up the model of the house and live inside the cardboard. Ask an architect. The models are made of cardboard. At best, they make maybe they use some... I'm talking about physical model. At best, they use a... What do you call this thing? Eh? You know, there's another thing you can use, maybe like mud. It's not really mud, but that thing that you can put... When you make a 3D model, there are some you can make that will last very long. And you can use some. Anyway, make a long story short. It's a model. Imagine that now say I want to pump it so that I can, because it's very beautiful. You make a very beautiful model, I can enter into it. But size is a problem. So instead I want to miniaturize myself into it or want to expand it. No, now. You won't do that. For those who do not know, when we talk about the Israel of old and the Israel of God, that is the difference. I hope you're getting my point. That is the difference between the Israel of old and the Israel of God. Paul said, peace be upon the Israel of God. You knew what he was saying. Please, let nobody harass you about replacement theology. It's an unnecessary nomenclature or appellation for anybody. What we are saying is that some things are shadows. And if you are part of the shadow, if you want to come into the substance, there's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. I've heard preachers who I respect, someone say that God has two special people on the earth. I say it's not true. He has only one. Everybody has to enter into it. Jesus said, your house will be left to you desolate until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see a lot of people, they sit down, they are interpreting prophecies. Like when this war in Gaza started, people gather to come and interpret prophecies. I listened to it for 5 minutes. I said, please, people, you should leave me alone. Because all your prophecies were about land. I didn't hear the name Christ. You think God is fulfilling the promise about land? No. All the promises are fulfilled where? In Christ Jesus. And this is the word the Lord gave openly. That house is desolate until there's a revival of the acknowledgement of the Son. So if you don't see the Son acknowledged, forget whatever you are seeing. It will never, good will never come out of it. Don't waste your prophetic mind trying to interpret things that will never happen. And even if they were to happen, they are irrelevant. I'm sorry, that is the stumbling block, even for today's preachers. They want to interpret the problems of physical Israel of today without putting Christ in the center. So I said, who are you preaching for? Let me say to this one to you categorically. First of all, I'm innocent of every man's blood. What I'm going to say is that I am not anti-Judaism. I'm not anti-Jews. If you call me an anti-Semitic, may God answer you back. For lying against me. That's what I'm going to tell you. Don't use appellations. Don't use descriptive terms. Just listen to what I'm saying. I am saying the Jew needs Christ. And there is nothing to admire on him until he finds Christ. There's nothing to admire in there. You know what? The Palestinian needs Christ too. And the Palestinian that is in Christ is superior to the Jew that is not. If you don't believe that with all your heart, you're not a Christian. What they all need. There's no peace coming to anywhere until Christ is magnified there. Bring all the bombs. Bring all the warships. There's a reason why he's called the Prince of Peace. Everyone who denies him will always have trouble. It will come in batches, in measures, but it will keep on coming back. Especially when he presents to you the knowledge of himself. Let's be careful. A lot of preachers going around now wearing all kinds of attires. Now I see them. They don't wear a Jewish shawl. They wear a Jewish cap. And this guy is from Udi. That's the painful part. If he was even from that side, we will understand. This guy is a Hausa man, for goodness sake. Or young man with tribal marks wearing, imagine this Reverend Yenka here now, putting cap on his head and doing facing a wall. What is wrong with people? You want to save Jesus Christ, save him. Let's magnify him everywhere we go. That is the gospel. That is the truth of the word of God. What I have said now, just pick Peter, Paul, James, John. You will see that that's exactly what they were preaching. Pick Jesus himself. He wasn't doing this kind of worship we are doing. It wasn't. He will look at the people where I say, oh, you are blessed. Say, you have your father, the devil. And we are shouting, oh, if you're one of the blinds, you're going to connect with best people. Jesus looked at them and said, you have your father, the devil. Why? Because of the works you are doing. He said, if you really believed in God, you will believe in me. Was that not what he said? There's somebody who rejects him and you say he's blessed. Are you okay yourself? Jesus said, listen, if you deny me, that means you don't know the Father. That if you knew the Father, you would have known me. Please, can we get this? Let's purify this gospel. Let's not mess it up. It's when we don't preach it properly that the power is not manifested. The truth of the gospel is that there is no way to God. No matter who you claim your father is, Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or three of them combined, there's no way to the Father except through Christ Jesus. Please, I hope we are getting this doctrine right. Please, I'm not anti anybody. I'm not anti-Palestinians. I'm not anti-Arabs. And I'm not anti-blacks. I'm not anti-whites. I'm not against anybody. I'm only pro-Christ. And I'm inviting everybody that if you want to know the Father, you have to be in Christ Jesus. There is no other way. And until you get in there, you're not special. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Dress any way you like. Carry any screw you like. You are not. In fact, there's greater judgment for you if you had the first knowledge of the Son and you reject him. Can we get this clear? So this thing is about Christ Jesus. It's about the Son of God. Superior to Moses. Superior to the angels. Superior to everyone that's ever lived on this earth. That is the person we are following. He is God among us. The name is Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. I remember when I was in primary school. I remember our head teacher, a retired headmaster of modern schools. And I came to our school, it was a private school, to head the school. And then we were doing Christmas this thing. So they say, we're now doing our Christmas play. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he's interrupted it and said the grammar is not accurate. It should be which means God is with us. So we all change it to God is with us, all right? When I grew up, I said, Baba, you did not know the Bible. You knew English, you didn't get the Bible. What the Bible says is that he is what? God with us. Do you get my point? Yeah, that is God is with us means what? We are going to battle, he helps us. It's on our side. But God with us, that when you are looking for God, we look at him. So he said to Philip, he said, show us the Father. He said, Philip. You have been with me all this while. You are still saying, show us the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. There's nothing else you are going to see. Because I'm the exact representation of the Father. That's the Jesus we worship. Colossians chapter 1. Let's read it together. Now we're going to read from verse 12. I read to verse 20. Are you ready? Now please read like you are blessed. Amen. It's an anthem and a pledge and a poem and a declaration to the Lord. Amen? All right, from verse 12, 1 to let's go. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I see, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for giving us the Son. Jesus, we worship you. We thank you for giving up yourself. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you that we are not alone. You are here with us this morning, magnifying the Son, giving insight to our hearts. Thank you. This morning we receive insight from the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We receive understanding from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Word of God will have a free course into every heart listening to this. Whether you are physically present here, or you are joining us remotely, or you are even listening to this after the live recording, the Holy Spirit will have free course into your heart.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare,
now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 This morning, the spirit of healing will come into your body.
Amen.
As the words are coming into your ears, the Holy Spirit is riding into your life and releasing the healing power of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let's take our seats. The Lord is good. All right, let's start again today. I'm hoping to come to the end of a particular series which we have interrupted a few times as we have been talking. And that's the defense in precepts. We have been talking about that. The defense in precepts. Let's just take a Bible reading to start. The book of Matthew chapter 5. I would like to start with that. Let's read from Matthew chapter 5. We'll take that as our text. And I begin to teach on the defense in precepts. From verse 3, the Lord was teaching. Okay, let's just start from verse 2. The Lord opened his mouth and began to teach the disciples who came to him up on the mountain after he had pulled back from the crowd. So in verse 3 he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Let me just emphasize something there. He said what they are saying is false, and what they are saying is because of your relationship with the Lord. That is when negative talk about you is a blessing. I hope you're getting my point. If you're a bad person and they are saying bad things about you, you're not singing Christian songs. Forget that thing. You're confused. I hope you're getting my point. All right. It's very, very important we bear that in mind. All right. Verse 12, it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That is, rejoice if what they are saying is false and if it is tied to your faith. He now said in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In the same manner, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand so they can give light to all that are in the house. So he says in verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, I'm going to stop reading here. Just to take a text for starting our teaching this morning is why I've read all these verses. Now, I've been looking at defense in precepts, and please allow me, you can't say this is enough, all right? To emphasize, that's to reiterate things that we have said. What we have said is that the word of God has different aspects. He has promises and he has precepts. Those are the two most important parts. All of them are important, but these two are kind of central. It has promises, it has precepts. The other ones are commandments, testimonies, and ordinances. All right? Now, when you follow all of them, you are said to have followed the Lord fully. Let's be careful not to follow only part of them. A lot of people like promises. Promises are absolutely ineffective, except precepts are put in place. What are precepts? The principles by which you put your life in order. Later I'm going to talk about order. The Holy Spirit opened my eyes a few days ago, I think it was even yesterday, to see the importance of order. I wrote something very long about it. I just realized something. Order and wealth, they go together. You cannot prosper except there's order in your life. You cannot, forget prosperity. One of the things corruption does is to breed disorder. That is non-predictability. You no longer can be predicted, nothing. You don't know where things are going. That's what corruption does. All right? The law says 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Corruption says 1 plus 1 is equal to 15. That's disorder. It breeds poverty. Okay? Now, I won't teach about it now. And listen, go and check it, please. Can I just say it? That is why there's this thing they say. It's a very bad thing. They say African time. What African time means now, I think the origin of African time, I think. I think. Don't quote it as, it's just my opinion. It's not because Africans are supposed to be bad people, but because they didn't have clocks. So they have to estimate time. So meetings are sunrise, sunset, early morning, late in the day, which, is a range of time. Early morning can be for any time from 5 a.m. to 6:30. Did you get my point? So somebody comes by 5 and that comes by 6. And I say, why are you just coming? You said early morning. Is this not early by your own? Do you get my point? I think that's my opinion of what was African time. But these days, what we now mean is that when we tell you something is 5 o'clock, now the other people had time. They could tell you 5. They had things, dials they used. Even when there were no mechanical clocks, they used the shadows to give precise timing. Because they used to do navigation. They had lens to check the movement of the stars, you understand, and the sun and all of that. So they could be more precise. So they developed a culture of following time. Do you follow my point? All right. But the Africans didn't have that. So they were used to just estimating. You wake up when the cock crows. And I've seen some very wicked cocks that would decide to crow at 3 a.m. And the man is a disciplined worker. He gets up, he starts packing to go to the market, to the farm. He doesn't know it's 3 a.m. You understand? You know, there are some moons that just hang out for a long time. The cock does not know the difference. Light, light. So he starts the crowing thing. You get my principle there. So that's what we meant by African time. Okay? Now, the problem now is that these days, there are clocks, there are watches, there are phones, there are all kinds of precise methods of measuring time. Yet you say meeting is by 4. People start walking in at 5:45. And one reason that they assume that nobody else will come on time. So our modern interpretation for African time now is what? Disregard for time. So people now have to be announcing, no African time, please. Now, other places, you don't have to tell people no African time, please. Once they say it's 5 o'clock, you don't have to tell them that I mean 5. I mean, what else would you mean if you said 5? Do you get my point? Yeah. What else would you mean if you said 5? It has to be 5. Someone, people post all kinds of things on video that shared around. There's one white man that was, he said his friend, his Nigerian friend. is having the wedding. So the Nigerian friend made the full costume for me, you know, Agbada, with the under, the Agbada, and the cap. Now, there's another follow-up to that video. He and another guy wearing the same thing. They came for the wedding. So they got to the venue. So one of them said, this cannot be the venue. He said, it is the venue. What time did they say? He said, let's say 10 o'clock. He said, this can't be the venue. You know why? It was 10, and they were the only ones in the hall. It's supposed to be a skit, make you laugh. But you know what? That's exactly how we behave. I know churches that the pastor has not had a bath at the time the wedding is supposed to start. And that's not exaggerating. He's not going to get there till 12. Of course, the normal thing now, very common, is a bride that come late for their own wedding because they are doing one rubbish building construction or putting foundation on their face. Just by the way, I know one man that doesn't care. I mean, it's a clergyman. He does a wedding, whether you are there or you are not there. Yeah. The only time he will stop is if he doesn't find the one who joins. He starts, I've seen him, I've been the best man in a wedding where he was. Look, they pulled our ears. And it was an 80-year-old man. So he was no fear of anybody. The man who was counseling my friend who was getting married was 70 years. And one day we were together, the final days before the wedding. And the old man came in. And this 70-year-old man jumped to his feet. So you know, say level past level. You can be 70. That's when small boys are there. I was a senior reverend. The senior reverend doesn't wait for anybody. And this is in Lagos. So he doesn't respect hold up. He doesn't respect any explanation, any excuse. He's not checking. You know, he's somebody you can talk to. If he says 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock straight, he starts. He doesn't check whether there's anybody there. I saw him do it. So for his weddings, you see brides on bikes. When their convoy gets held up inside traffic, you see bike, we enter bikes. That man is not waiting for you. A friend of mine, a colleague, when the same office was in Lagos, he was emigrating to Germany. This was long ago. Not now. I'm telling you, this was 98, thereabout. All right? 98. There was one senior military officer that was in our office. He was a doctor, so doing some work, some program. He told him, oh, you're going to Germany. That one said, yes. So let me just warn you. They don't understand lateness. He warned him ahead. He said, that's why you will find clocks everywhere. The trains are precise. They tell you this train is arriving by 8. Set your clock by 8. 8, it will be there. So he warned my guy. He said, please, they don't understand it. You can't explain. And that's what you find where people prosper. That's what you find. They have so much respect for time. It's order I'm talking about. So there is order. Someone told me once that one of our big archbishops in Nigeria, let me not bother mentioning him now, because I didn't personally verify. He went for a meeting all the way from Nigeria with Oral Roberts and co. He came in late. He was not let in. They didn't let him in. Not Oral Roberts himself, his secretary. Oh, say sorry, sir. You're kind of too late for the meeting. They have started. They've locked the door. Bible principle. The bridegroom has arrived. I remember those days I got invited to come and preach in a number of places in town here. Until I now learned the bad habits too. Now, I don't want to say it wasn't my fault because it's a bad habit, so let me leave it. But you get down for a meeting. So I usually ask, when am I supposed to be there? It's something I ask. When? I'd like to be precise. Because I don't want to, now, it may not be 100% right, but yeah, I think I heard Ken Hagin and Kwebun say it. That he normally goes, for a lot of meetings, he goes, just maybe if they're supposed to call him up by 10, he goes like 9:30, 9:45. He said that he finds a lot of churches do a lot of, according to him, things in the flesh. So they disturb him. So he doesn't want to see all of it. Just come on his ministration time. All right? Shortly before that. So I ask people, when am I supposed to be there? They say, when is the program? They tell you it's maybe 6 o'clock. When am I supposed to start preaching? They say 7. All right, good, fine, no problem. So maybe I come by 6 just to be there on time. This particular one I have in mind, I got there, and I was wondering whether I got the hall wrong. The hall was not only empty, it was not arranged for an event. So I went around asking questions. Finally, somebody answered that, no, it is the right venue, and I was welcome. I said, so where are the people that invited me? And you see, they went for, part of the program was a picnic, something, so they came back late, so they are getting there, they are coming. So I said, I am supposed to stand here and wait. So I told them that you said I will start speaking by 7 o'clock. The best I will do for you is 7:30. After 7:30, I enter my car and I drive off. Then I became begging matter. This was on a campus. It became begging matter. I said, no, you don't get it. I've given you 30 minutes. So I think that's the best I can do. I'm going to wait here till 7:30. 7:30, I'm entering my car and I'm driving away. So I remember one boy. I still remember once in a while. He said, sir, so what do you expect them to do? I said, is that my business? I was always a special guest for the evening. I was handed the main thing for the evening. I was preaching. The evening was a preaching session, and I'm the one that's supposed to preach. So I told the people, sorry, I can't take this. So they went and called one of their seniors, one of their, not, is it patron I call it? That one happens to be a doctor, all right? A junior colleague, all right? Senior registrar. So he came to me, introduced himself. Yeah, work in the same hospital, all right? And that, please. And I told him, look, I won't take this. I'm leaving, 7:30, not changing my mind. He's okay. What can I do for them? Okay, no, he said, what if he calls me up in the next 10 minutes? Will I accept? I said, yes. They didn't set up equipment, though. They just put the pulpit there, the stand, and he sat down. I started preaching to like 4 or 5 people. I was already preaching when they connected the amplifier. I was already preaching when people were walking in. I can say 75% of the people, no, sorry. When I started preaching, there were 4 or 5, I told you. By the time I was halfway through, 75% of them were not yet there. I can't remember how many people were there by the time I finished. So then I said, sorry, I won't take this. And I discovered it was a culture. It was just one day another group invited me to come and speak somewhere. I got there, and they were carrying chair. How am I describing it? That is a cause of poverty. Just bear it in mind. We'll talk about it later. Disorder is a cause of poverty. Societal poverty arises from disorder. One of the worst places to drive on this earth is this our country. Either one or two countries worse than us, all right? But generally, many years ago, it was my first time in the U.S. So I was there. Well, I was with my friend in New York for some time before I now moved, went to Texas, Houston, for where I wanted to do. So one day, I heard a car horn. So I called my friend in New York. I said, I heard a horn. And that was when it hit me. I had not heard a horn since I arrived in Houston. And I've been there for about 10 days, 11 days. I just called him. I said, well, I heard a horn. And it just hit me that I'm hearing the horn for the first time. Now, in case you don't know, Houston's America's fourth largest city. So I called him. I said, oh boy. He laughed. He said, they don't horn. So he had a car, because he used to live there. He said, the car didn't have a horn for 18 months. And it didn't matter. I said, you want to drive in Enugu without horn? How do you want pedestrian will walk into your front? Do you understand? Keke will block you. Let's not talk about tanker or tipper or buses. You want to drive without a horn? Do you know? I said, what? He laughed. He said, Mikey, they don't horn. And I stayed at least in Houston there for 5 weeks. About 32 days or so. 32 to 33 days. Yeah, because my program was 30 days. I arrived before and I left after, went back to meet him. And I heard horn only twice. You know why? Everybody obeys the rules. He told me that if you horn too much, police will pull you over to check whether you're drunk. What is the horn about? You're like, may I take clear roads small, The man will tell you, break into this thing. I think you must be high on something. He will set your car. You have to show him what you smoked. The point is that everybody obeys the rules. So the idea of clearing road for yourself with the horn is unnecessary. When you talk about autonomous cars, don't come and drive in this place. Autonomous car will enter here, become autonomous wreck in 2 hours. Because autonomous car assumes that everybody is obeying the rules. Why am I talking about it? It's disorder. It brings poverty. It breeds poverty. I remember one World Cup Nigeria hosted. Was what's the name of that FIFA president? Was it Sepp Blatter, the one that made sure we got that hosting right? Sepp Blatter, yes. It was, we voted for him. I didn't get that. So the guys, we wanted to host his Junior World Cup. It was under 21 or something. Let us host. Opening ceremony in Lagos. It was talk worldwide. You know why? We opened 5 minutes late. It was on the news everywhere. They had never heard of World Cup starting. And it's 5 minutes late. Now, you don't get my point. It was, okay, so, everybody was analyzing why we're 5 minutes behind. If kickoff was supposed to be 5 p.m., we started at 5:05, and it was international news. Because the way they are used to doing things, if kickoff is 5 o'clock, by 4:30, everybody's on the pitch, they are getting things ready. 5 minutes to five, the players and their positions, they are looking at the clock, they are waiting. They've decided who is, they've done the coin toss, they've done everything. So the referee is looking at the clock, he's looking. The guy who's going to start, you've seen it before. His foot is on the ball. The guy blows the whistle. Worldwide, it's syndicated. Everybody connects at the same time. They watch this. So they didn't understand. 5 minutes is 5 minutes behind in France, 5 minutes behind in the whole of Europe, 5 minutes behind in North America, Australia. You're costing us money. Advertising of one of those things is $1 million for 30 seconds. Yeah. American Super Bowl is $2 million for 30 seconds advert during their main event. So they don't understand. You know how much money you just threw away? Well, in Nigeria, sorry, sir. We like sorry, sir. People of God, we Christians must end it. We Christians must end it. We should not allow disorder to be our culture. It gets into all of our bodies. You understand? Now, I don't want to excuse that. One of the reasons why I go late is because I know they will waste time. Well, whatever it is, it happens and it should stop. Because disorder breeds poverty. There must be order in your life. There must be order in your home. I realize that many of those countries, why they prosper materially is because of order. Order in itself is prosperity. It has value. And one reason why homes are breaking down there is disorder. There's disorder inside the house. There's order in the bus. There's order driving on the road. But inside the home, you don't know who is father. You don't know who is mother. Let me stop it there because I told myself I won't preach that today. That's not my message for today. I'm just saying that we use the precepts of God to put what? Order into life. The precepts of God are the rules of life. Okay? Where there's disorder, there's poverty. The Bible calls it every evil work. Do you get my point? Yeah. You find all kinds of bad things happening when there is disorder. I'm being tempted to talk about it more. There are so many little areas. Part of order is not everybody that drives your car. Yeah. It's not everybody that opens a door. Not everybody enters the kitchen. That's part of order. You have to put order into things. It's not everybody that you leave the key to lock the door. You have to designate people to do things. It's called order. Without order, you create a lot of chaos and poverty. Accidents, that's why they happen. When there is no set, set rules. What they call SOP. Standard Operating Procedure. Let me sit down there for a second. That's why people who have built good organizations, they put the SOP down. Things must follow this order. It was developed. Look, again, let me go back to something. Stop moving by the spirit. When there's an SOP, do you follow my point?
Yes.
When there's a standard operating procedure, stop using your spirit to disorganize it. I've told you so many people, a lot of people do spirit. They are people of disorder. You can't work with them. And that's because we don't know the meaning of true spirituality. Spirituality is scripturality. Using the words of Bishop Oyedepo. Spirituality does not mean that you are disordered and we can't predict you. Just imagine that Jesus used to go to places and we never could tell. It's not true. They knew where he was coming. He advertised his programs ahead. The Bible says, send them out 2 by 2 into every town and city that he himself was planning to come to. Don't assume he didn't have plans. He did. This is what we are going to do. Don't just wake up in the morning, my spirit didn't say I should go out. Why should your spirit say you should go out when you have work to do? Your spirit is waiting for you at work. You are sitting down here. He can't tell you to go out because he left while you were still sleeping. You're supposed to open your office by 8. You woke up at 8:15. Why would your spirit tell you to go? Because your spirit left at 7:30. Your spirit entered bus at 7:30 and got to the office at 7:45 waiting for you. So there's nobody to tell you to go. Your spirit left. Can I say something? Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you to do what is right. What is normal. Holy Spirit doesn't talk about it. He expects to follow order. Please, let's not forget that. Please, let me not sit on it too much. So, the precepts of God, we use them to put order in our lives. And in following the precepts of God, we get a lot of blessing. In fact, that's where he hid 90. Okay, now, just for the sake of using mathematical, you know, representation, that's where he has hidden 90% of our blessings, precepts. This is right, this is wrong. So a truly spiritual person has learned what God says is right and what God says is wrong under those circumstances. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
That's what we mean by precepts. I can't help but use this one to kind of further this thought. How many of us know Kos Jarvis? You know Kos Jarvis? Cosmas Maduka. Yeah. He's a businessman. A very well-to-do businessman. So, let me talk about the man a bit. Now, I don't know him more than what we know publicly about him. But I know he's a businessman who said he stopped formal schooling in primary 3. All right? But he's a very smart man. And he's a Christian. He doesn't hide his Christianity. I hear he preaches on the street. And so I saw somewhere they were interviewing him recently. That's what I want to talk about. About 10 years ago or 12 years thereabout, some time ago anyway, he had this big fallout with one prominent businessman from his town. His village man. They're from the same area. Which he confessed is part of the way the man got him. He said the man played the tribal card. He said it. All right? So everybody's against him because of this and that and that. So he pitied him because of that, even though they warned him. He said it himself. I'm quoting what he said openly. It's all over the YouTube. You can go and see it. The interviews. Now, in that particular experience he had with that man, he was standing, in fact, overnight, he was owing 21 billion naira overnight. Because he stood shorty for that man. At that time, that was about between 230 and 250 million dollars. What I want to talk about is that he had a meeting with some people. And they tried to explain to him that, well, you were not the one that lent him money. It's the bank. And at that point, he could actually back out and refuse to take responsibility for that loan. At that time, the loan was still floating. It was on that guy's neck. But it was like maybe it was by word of mouth that he said, don't worry, I'll be the shorty. He had not signed documents. Now, this may not be totally accurate, but the spirit behind it is correct. So he had the opportunity to hide. Right? He had that opportunity. And people told him that, look, don't bother. Let the bank pursue him by himself and all of that. He now says something. He said he asked himself, why? Because nobody agreed to lend that man money. All the banks he went to, they refused. When he came and told his guys in the banks, let's help this guy now. They refused. He went to one, they said no. So he said he sat down and weighed the risks and told them, all right, don't worry. I'll be shorty. So they said, no problem. The bank who agreed and they released the money. And according to him, the thing that happened a number of times. They did successfully about 5 or 6 times. Then the 7th time, the man now struck. He said, I didn't know he was baiting me in. That's what he said. But again, that's not everything I'm trying to, that's not the focus. The focus was something he said. I said, my God in heaven. It's after that meeting, they told him that, look, let the bank handle it. You can easily be extricated. We can, you know. Uh-huh. For them to put the burden of the loan on him, I think he has to sign some documents. So he could refuse to sign. He said he reasoned and said, why did they give this man the loan? It was because of me. If I refuse to sign, what am I saying? So he took the documents and signed. Overnight, his account was debited 21 billion naira, which he had to pay. He was paying an interest of 380 million naira a month. So that was how much that loan was collecting as interest. Now, again, let me not sit on the detail of the business. All right? The other things he said. In fact, I'm adding many things I heard from different places, from his mouth. They were interviewing him, or I'm adding them together. But it's the one I saw last that hit me. He said, after he signed those documents, he got home. He sat and thought about it and jumped up and told his wife, I won! I won! I won! So his wife came and said, you won. Have you been paid the money? No. So how did you win? He said, it's a test of integrity. I won. He said, it's a test of integrity. I won. He was jumping all over his house. He's owing 21 billion now. He has not yet collected his money. Is he planning to pursue that guy? He went after the guy. Let's not go into details about that. But he said, at least this one, I won. He said, his integrity I built over 38 years. He said, I won. The worst that will happen is that I will lose money. But I will not lose my integrity. I don't know if it was then or another time, he was telling the story of how, according to him, angels went out to walk, and in a day, he earned 14 billion naira. He said the story. It's why, when he shouted, I won, it's why I'm telling the story. I'm talking about precepts. So everyone with the Holy Spirit to talk to them. He didn't talk to the Holy Spirit about it. He talked to himself. Why did they give him the money? It was because of you. Now listen, I have sworn to what is now my heart. I can't change. Those are the people that enter into the mountain of God. And I'm talking about precepts. The way people, young people, the way they break agreement. I feel like telling them, please, listen, be careful. It's waiting for you in front. That agreement, you have to go back and fix it. God will demand. There is no forgiveness. No. He will demand. If that opportunity is not there, he will bring another opportunity. But that agreement, you must fix. You can't go and take a job. You sign an agreement that you are going to deliver something for them at this cost. And they should check it now. Things are not the way it's when you sign the agreement. Are you out of your mind? Because you are in a country where pursuing you legally is kind of tedious for people, so they don't bother. That is why if you are doing business, do your due diligence before you commit yourself to anything. Because once you commit yourself, you are committed. People will come and say, okay, I'll work for you for 6 months. After 2 months, something else better comes up. I like one guy who I saw his video. It's everywhere, human beings. Again, what I want to teach today, all right? If I'm getting to it now. Jesus said, do unto others as you want them to do to you. I saw this video some weeks ago. A particular guy is an employer in the United States. He said he interviewed somebody. He needed somebody to fill a particular post. So he did some interviews. So on Thursday, he finally interviewed somebody that he thought was good. And they agreed on how much they would pay and everything. Agreements were made. That is that they agreed. So now to the guy, when are you starting? The guy said he'll start on Monday. He said, fine. Monday, start work. So he stopped, of course. The position has been occupied. He has given that guy his employment letter. Then on Monday morning by 9, when the guy was supposed to resume, the guy called him and said, please, I forgot. I have an appointment for 9 o'clock. Can I start by 11 or 12, something like that? The guy said, no problem. You can resume by that time, a little late. Then that time, I think 11 or so, came again. The guy called again and said, sorry, I didn't tell you. The appointment I had was another interview. He said, that guy has offered me a better, package. So that you say, you have to understand now. He said, I think I'll go with the other guy. So the man said, yes, I understand. But just imagine this. I stopped interviewing people on Thursday. Imagine I continue to interview people on Friday and maybe on Saturday. And I got somebody who's better than you for less pay. Then you resume work at 9 on Monday. And I call you to the side and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I got somebody else who's going to cost me less and who has better, a resume than you have. He said, ask the fellow, what will you think? That's the only thing he told the guy. Could he fight him? He said, no. But just know that if I did this to you, the world will not hear the last of it. If you went to your employer just one day, without, just wake up one morning, and you get to work, the man says, this work, I employed somebody else yesterday. I don't think I need you again. So he sacks you on the spot. But you have no problem with working out on him anytime you get a better deal. Please, I want to say the people of God, God is waiting in front. One of our brothers told me a story once, I think I've shared it here before. He traveled abroad. So he was connecting his flight in Dubai. Then he met another of his brothers, another Christian brother. All right? And saw that one. What are you doing here? He said, my company sent us for training. Now, a Nigerian company sent employees for training in Dubai. Now, in case you do not know, some of us may not know it all. But the fact is that if you are leaving Nigeria going to Dubai, You can't trek across the street. You have to fly. And the com that is sending you pays for each individual. When you get there, you're not going to sleep in the hall where they are doing giving the lectures. There's hotel accommodation. I think it was for like a week. You know what? Why my brother was angry? And he told me about it. I don't know the person. So he looked at the brother and said, but you told me you are immigrating to North America. And you are resigning from that company in the next 1 to 2 months. Now, can I say this? How can you be that heartless? A man is spending money to build his business. He trusts you as an employee to go and learn. You think he's a Father Christmas? Does it look like your uncle? Who's giving you a wedding present? Just go and chop life in Dubai? He's training you. Let's say the way it is. Brethren, that is wickedness. You want to know the truth? It is waiting for you in front. That's the meaning of God is alive. When we say God is alive, we don't mean he's not sick. We mean what a man sows, that he will also reap. There are things I want to tell people. This thing you have done, may your fiancé do it to you. I won't say it, but I think it. They will stand you up on your wedding day. I don't say it to, I think it to, because I know it's very harsh. You know what I found out? What actually worries us in life, we don't know. You know, there was one story you told yesterday when you were teaching here. I had not come in, but of course the speaker on the other side works. I was in my office getting some things done before I joined. Before I tell you what he said, going to church, prophesying and praying is not where your destiny lies. Please. All this going to jail is not where the destiny lies. You told the story. I heard it struck me that you need a guy on campus that at a certain time, that the guy can pray. When he's praying, he don't lock door. Lock himself and lock you out. Lock, that is, he has to pray. Like the windows, you say, I have to pray. I have to intercede for souls. I have to ascend. How your guy could ascend? You know, I said something. That every time you hear him speak, he quotes African proverbs and adages. You never heard him quote scripture one day. One of our big men, let me not mention his name, but all of us know him. I saw him, his wife packed two or three children and left him after they had been married for about 10 or 12 years. What was his own mistake? He said as a young guy, he used to drive big men around. He mentioned one particular big crusade he was serving as a young guy where the big preachers came to town. And he heard them talk. That's why I told that the problem of Nigeria is the church. He said he heard big men, big ministers talk. They can't have their children in this country. All their children must be born abroad. These are the people ministering to people, expecting the people, all right, to pray and develop their nation. Yet all of them as a group say, I can't have my children in Nigeria. So he bought into the lie, which is a lie. He bought into their lies. Now, when I'm not saying he's telling the lie. I mean that believing that you have believed a lie. All right? All the children he had were born in America. You want to know what happened? That was the bane of his existence. Because being American citizens, one day his wife packed those two children and took them to America. And he had not seen his children, I think, about 15 years or so. He was calculating that by now my daughter will be 23 or so. I've not seen her, that if I see her now, I won't recognize her. He said it hit him so bad. Listen to this. He said it hit me so bad, I will have an accident in Lagos while driving. You run into somebody in front. Then when the guy sees him, the guy says, sorry, oh. That the guy, when he looks in his face, he sees that he had passed out. He will see tears in his eyes and realize that he did not even know when he hit him. You know somebody, you look into his face, you know, this guy is not with me. So that's how bad his life was. Until his friends had to beg him, please get a driver, otherwise you will kill yourself. So that's how bad it was. Again, that's not the story. That's the preamble. The real story is that there was not a day, all the years he knew his wife, they were married for over 10 years, that she was asleep between 2 and 4. She was always praying. That there's no night she sleeps. So even before the marriage, she knew that's how she was. But at least when they were living together, this girl never slept through the night. Any day, not one day. Every day by 2, she's awake to pray. I've told people, see, that is why I am the way I am. I told, see, in case you don't know, please, this is not a bragging thing. I have been studying scriptures by myself since 1987. Before that, I've been going to fellowship. But to take a book, say, I want to read. I want to learn. I want to you know, take notes, you know, highlight, take my Bible, take stuff down. 87. How many years, man of God? 37 years this year. And my conclusion after all these years, I don't like spiritual people. I don't like them. I don't. When I say spiritual, you know what I mean. And then the Lord said to me, look, even when I'm doing to ministers and they're tossing, the Lord said to me, I brush it aside. And I'm talking about credible men. I listen to prophets, so you know me, I quote prophets. I know when prophets are speaking. But if you are running your normal life and say the Lord said to me, I don't listen to you. Show me the precepts you obeyed. Because you see, if you don't show me that one, and I've seen it. It has created more confusion than progress for the body of Christ. This is the Lord said to me then. Every little Tom, Dick, and Harry living a confused life blames the Lord. They can't do what is right, they blame the Lord. They do what is patently, obviously wrong, they say it's the Holy Spirit. That is the reason why over time, I say, and the Lord was telling me, in my mind, get out. Get out. And I mean that 9 times out of 10. You're talking to me, I can't tell you, that's what I'm saying. So when you tell me the Lord said, I just ignored, I didn't say anything. What I want to do, I do it. Why I don't like spiritual people? What I mean by that is that, you see, the way they ignore precepts, the way they use precepts, God said to me, to ignore precepts is bad. Your emphasis as a Christian is the walk according to divine precepts. What is true spirituality? It is what? Scripturality. And that's what we are talking about. The defense. What God uses to bless you is to just tell you what is right most of the time to do. Again, Pastor Banga, I say God doesn't speak to people. I never said that. In case you don't know, go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. I explain in details inside there. What I'm just saying is that 99 times out of 100, you will live by the precepts that you have learned. They are not always right because you don't know everything. And when they are wrong, he knows what to do. He will stop you. He will stop you. He will stop you. He knows what to do. If he has to send an angel in to talk to you, he will. And there are times you don't even know what is right to do. Precepts or no precepts. You put everything together, it's still not clear. James said, you lack what? Wisdom. That is when you go and ask. In that book, I explained it. When they chose a replacement for Judas, it was not by my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to me, these are people that Jesus had taught. They didn't say, Holy Spirit, help us. No. They started with rules. For time's sake, we'll bother opening to it. Say, what is the rule? This is what they call an apostleship. So this apostleship, there are people who qualify for it. There are rules in scriptures. Paul gave the rules to Timothy and gave the rules to Titus when it came to selection of deacons and elders in the church. The rules were given to them. What to look for? In the same manner, Peter understood ahead. Who is the person that can replace Judas? He must have been with us from the very beginning. He must have been with us through the crucifixion. That's all those years till the crucifixion, and he must have seen the resurrection also. That's the person that must be an eyewitness. They were selecting eyewitnesses. You have the book of Luke, right? Your Bible. Luke didn't qualify. You know the person of Paul, right? Paul did not qualify. Even though he wasn't there then, but even if he was there, he would not have qualified. Why? He didn't witness what they witnessed physically. When they went through the whole congregation, only 2 persons qualified. Matthias and Joseph. You know, they are many in one. Joseph known as Justus, and you know, so it causes confusion for men of God. But only 2 persons qualified. James said, If any man lacks wisdom, that was where their wisdom ended. If only one person had qualified, they would have selected that person. And if he was wrong, the Holy Spirit would have had to stop them. But they had two, following the precepts that the Lord had given them. He said, you will be my witnesses. There are people that had to tell stories of what they saw. John told us that which was from the beginning. Let's summarize, which our hands handled. We saw it, we heard it, we said, you must have known. You had to have known the Lord by yourself. You must have eaten with him before you could be one of the 12 apostles. So those who didn't qualify, they didn't need the Holy Spirit to tell them anything. Just get out from there. You're not part of it. But when they checked everything, two people qualified. Two persons. So that's all right. They now drew lots. People say, if you are in the spirit, you are not supposed to draw lots. That's not true. Please go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. Christianity, we don't cast lots. I said, where do you people get all of these doctrines from? Now, do I cast lots regularly? No. Your whole Bible, how many times they cast lots too? It's not often. People say, what do you call that thing? Fleas. You don't put out a fleas for God under the New Testament. Who told you that? In the Old Testament, how many times did they do it? How many times did they do that, even the so-called? Only one time. Please go and read my book. I don't want to teach you that now. Guided by the Spirit. The point is that these are not things you do because you are lazy. It is not that the casting of lots is wrong. It is not that the putting out of fleeces in itself is wrong. It is that most people are just spiritually lazy. And God does not bless laziness. What do I mean? Like I was teaching my children in the house, was it yesterday? We were talking about it. The family were just having Bible discussion. That you know some people, you know how they know the mind of God? They take a Bible. I have a Bible here. Sorry, please give me a second. Let me get it out. They take a Bible. Father, we thank you because you're the one that's guiding us. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to know what to do. Tell us what to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It has opened somewhere. Oh, you are guiding us today. You are guiding us. You are guiding us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Men of understanding will say to me, and a wise man who hears me, Joe speaks without knowledge. That man is speaking without knowledge. He doesn't know what he's saying. They read a verse. I just read something from Job chapter 34. All right, that's verse 34. You see, it rhymes. The Holy Spirit was leading me. We're all laughing now, right? Are you aware that was how Demo Shakarin's father became a millionaire? What I've just done was what brought their family out of poverty. Why are we laughing? It sounds so ridiculous. How you take guidance by just flipping a book randomly? But the elders in the church, Demo Shakarin's family, they were suffering very badly. The father, I think, was it? No, it was the father. Things were really rough. Sorry, please, if I'm mistaken, then it's his grandfather. All right? But it was their family. Things were really rough. He went to the elders in church because they believed in God. They believed in prayer. Pray. So they prayed and opened the Bible like that. Boom. And one elder looked down there and the Bible said, blessed shall thou be in the field. And he said, the Lord says you should go and walk on the field. And the man went into farming, agricultural produce business and became rich. That's how he finally got into dairy farming. From somebody opening Bible randomly. And just pointing finger. We laughed at him when I first did it. But you know, it worked for somebody. The mistake he will make is to say, sweetheart, we have found the key. Go and tell your wife that. Why would I say? So which new business will you start now? You all open it. Bam. I'm looking for one scripture to quote now. The Lord is my shepherd. We are going to buy sheep. But we all know that it doesn't work like that. Why doesn't it work? Because right now, what many people are doing is the lazy way out of things. They are not developing spiritually. They are just looking for keys to press and get answers. And God does not honor that. That is what is wrong with fleeces. That is what is wrong with casting lots. That is what, because the Bible says that the answer comes from the Lord. If it is properly used, it is not Old Testament anything. Just like in the New Testament, you hardly have to use it. In the New Testament, it's not that you will never use it. When I asked my wife to marry me, you know what was the final key she used? I mean, I thought we were having a nice time, you know, relating with one another. You know, I thought I was too fine. You know, that's a joke, okay? But I was a bit surprised. So I can't say, I even bought a ring. You know, so confident was I. I brought a ring. You don't carry a ring when you feel like you have not settled everything. I'm the one that wanted to marry. She was like, this guy, you don't know how difficult a human being you look like to me. A man that has no fun in his life. Every time you say that, why don't we go to the beach? She was like, yeah, you married this guy. Just join Deeper Life. There's no need to think. Just join Deeper Life. Even though I was not deep, but no other reason. And so for her, it was a big leap to take. And she prayed a prayer. So of course, I was really disappointed when things, so I just said, I beg, because this was in Benin, I came from Lagos. I'm going back to Lagos. So she prayed to God that if he doesn't go, I will marry him. She was sure I was going. And I just prayed a prayer. So my friend took me to the park, and there were no vehicles going to Lagos anymore. So my friend and I said, what do you do now? Maybe you should go tomorrow. All right, let's go back. So we're going back to his house. So I went to the pay phone. You know, those is when I used to use a calling card. I had one. I went to the Nitel pay phone nearby, called their house at night just to say, I didn't go again, no, because I couldn't get transport. I didn't know that was giving her the signal that she was waiting for. You can go and decide whether it was the will of God or not. It's 25 years this year. But let's be honest. That is secondary. Are you getting my point? What is the fundamental thing? Be not unequally yoked with what? An unbeliever. Please go and read my book, Should I Say Yes? I had my three things which were based on scripture and the understanding of what my life is supposed to be that I said I'm considering. Of course, to be a believer is not one of those three. I hope you understand my point. You're ready to marry an unbeliever. No. It's like being a believer. It's like saying that I won't marry a goat. Do you get my point? It was not to be discussed. It wasn't. It wasn't like, okay, person must be a Christian. Waiting for me before. Monkey. Do you follow my point? Being an unbeliever was like adding monkeys to the group. You say, okay, gorillas are close enough to human beings. Some gorillas are fine, you know? You know that kind of thing. Are you getting my point? So that's why I didn't add that one. Not because it was wrong, but I said, that is taking, if I add that one, God's like, are you okay? I'm talking amongst those who I felt were true believers. It's only on top of that we add these things. That's what precepts do for us, please, people of God. What is spirituality? True spirituality is to have a life based on sound spiritual principles. Let me say it again. True spirituality is to live your life based on sound spiritual principles. That's another word for precepts. Principles and precepts, two interchangeable words. Is that okay? That's what it means to be a believer. To be a spiritual person. Not that you are an unpredictable person. You stand by the road. Tell your friends, wait. Should we cross? Holy Spirit, should we cross? Should we cross or not cross? Holy Spirit says, okay, so where are you going? Say, we are going to the restaurant. Where is it? It's on the other side of the road. Don't cross. Stay here. The food will come and meet you, Abby. That's not spiritual. You've seen spiritual people like that. I'm just checking whether we should cross. Holy Spirit, do we cross? No. The Bible says, whatever you have to do, do it in the name of the Lord. A truly spiritual person will cross the road because the restaurant is in front. Father, we thank you. We cross this road in the name of the Lord. That's a spiritual person. Why are you crossing it? Because we are going to the restaurant and the restaurant is on the other side. What if the Lord doesn't want you to cross it? When we want to cross it, a convoy of 20 fast-moving trucks will start passing. And you don't need to pray, Lord, do I cross or not cross? Do you do that? No. Come on, you can see the convoy. Trucks. You will wait until they finish crossing. By that time, one man will cross back to this side, grumbling, saying, man, that restaurant is not even open. Say, oh, they're not open? No, which restaurant? That one. Oh, they're not open. No. Oh. They will not thank God for the trucks that prevented you from crossing. That is how life is most times. But no one will tell this kind of story. We don't feel spiritual enough. That is what our problem is. We want to say, Kashaba Kobo. So the last week, as I was trying to cross the road, the Holy Spirit just said, pause. So I paused. As I was pausing, and I said, oh, Holy Spirit, why? He said, they are not open. I said, are you sure? Yeah, I'm the Holy Spirit. How can I not be sure? I never would preach like that. See, that pastor is full of power. He can ascend. Many of these people that ascended, they descended so low. That is why. The Lord is good. What are the simple precepts? Just run through a few of them. Remember we said the other time, the commandments are not what? They're not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not burdensome. They're not burdensome. I thank God the book, Grace to Prosper, second edition will be out, all right? At least digitally. I can't promise you the print version yet, but this digital, that's by God's grace, will release over the next few weeks, okay? In the book, I explained again. Giving is not burdensome. Do you know Ananias and Sapphira didn't have to die? Because giving is not what? Burdensome. All they needed to do was tell Peter, that man sold the land and gave everything. He tried. I will sell my own, but Oga, now only 35% will feel part with you. Sapphira will take 35. We'll just share the thing. Oga Peter, let me not lie to you. That is what I can do. You know what Peter will have said? Go away with your money. We don't want it if it's not complete. Will he have said that? What will he have said? God bless you. That's all Peter will have said. The Lord bless you. May he find you a good buyer at a good price. But the man and his wife, they felt that, no, we have to show to be big people too. We want to match the commitment of some people. I heard Barnabas was one of them. He wanted to match their commitment. They gave their land to God. At the end of the day, you are checking what the land has produced. Can I just tell you this so that you won't be deceiving yourself? If you give an offering and you are waiting for the harvest, you've lost the money. See? You've lost the money. What did I say? Don't worry. Just go. If you want the money back, just go and beg God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, I gave you that money, but there's no way to get it back from the church. But can you give me back? Bring it another way. I don't want to give it again. There's no fight. You know, you won't be angry. I wish you could say, they'll just be laughing. Say, this boy is finally growing up. If you show the sheet and you are waiting for the harvest, stop wasting your time. It's not coming. Don't worry. I know what I've said. It's not popular. It's the truth. But you know, one of the reasons why I say these things, so that you have a reference. So that the day you want to do what is right, you will remember that one person told you this. Do you not remember your guy? It took him 2 years to come back. But he knew where to come back to. You not told him something. He said, no. Say, my brother, it's not like that. He said, look, brother Jonathan, I'm the pastor, you're a lecturer. So be lecturing while I do the Bible teaching. Jonathan said, okay. 2 years later, all the seeds he sowed, none of them germinated. None. He now came back to me and said, look, brother Jonathan, that thing you were saying, can you explain it again? So now, I am now the teacher. What are you now? Because you're... Now, let me lecture you with the word of God. So that's why I say some of these things. So you have a reference. So you won't be disappointed as if the word of God is not true. Because if I didn't say, you'll be frustrated. Many people are frustrated. Remember that man that went to Dunamis and said he was kneeling down, that they should refund all his money. That is what happened. He said, kingdom investment. I don't want to invest again. He said, this heaven, I don't want to go again. Yeah, he said so. He said, I don't want to go again. He said, things are tight. That he can't pay his staff in his office. So he brought all the, you know, this, all the tight cards, you know, the pastors. I'm not saying it's you. Why are you shaking your head? Are you not a pastor? Did I say you used it? I was pointing, are you not a pastor? Warn yourself. Oh, God. You know the tight guy, the guy who brought it as evidence. He said one funny thing. He said, these are the ones I have evidence for. There are so many more that I don't have evidence. So that one, I can't claim it. He mentioned all kinds of kingdom investment, all these projects. He said, but this one, he has evidence. So he now knelt down. They should please help him beg the big pastor to refund him his money. I said, it's not his fault. It's the erroneous teaching we gave him. Why didn't he go to the children's school that they should refund the tuition because the boy did not pass jam? Could he do that? No, he wouldn't do that. Why didn't he go to the university and say, I paid tuition and this thing for my son here for 5 years. He hasn't gotten a job. 3 years after graduating. Refund my money. Will he do that? They didn't promise him anything. They delivered what they were supposed to. Your son came to class, we taught him. He did the exams, we scored him. At the end of 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is, we give him a certificate, bachelor's in this. Our deal with you is over. You know what I owe you as the head of a ministry that you give money to? Is to spend the money in propagating the gospel. The blessings we give you is not my business. Pastor, I sold 1 million to Kingdom World. So, did I tell you it was a farm? Which portion of land did I sell to you? It has not germinated. Are you mad? I didn't promise you anything like that. Did I even beg you for money? The only thing I owe you is that I will tell you, okay, we pay 25 radio, terrestrial radio stations. We have a 24-hour internet-based radio station. Don't worry, the app, you'll be able, by next week, you'll be able to download the app. Yeah, at least Android. I don't know when I'm not aware of what. Okay, he said Akeli is ready now. Really, you are right, I was not aware. Last I knew, they were still making the final corrections. That's why I said next week. So, those are the kind of things that I owe you. But that girl will not build you a house. He didn't tell me that. So I will not tell you. I might have to say that giving to the work of God doesn't prosper people, that God doesn't bless it. He does. But once your eye is on that blessing, you will not get it. You know why? You're a selfish and wicked soul. You're only thinking of yourself. Take the things of God the way I take giving my children money. Do you get my point? They ask for money because they need it. There's no soul in it. Agbinga will not come and say, "Daddy, sow into my life. You know I have to go to university." But don't worry. When I hammer, I go hammer you back. No worry. He doesn't say that. You just look like, when you and your wife decided to have children, was I there? Now I'm your responsibility. School fees. This is school account. When are you wiring it? He won't say without attitude, but he says it without expectation. Doesn't expect to promise me anything. And so what I say to people is that use that attitude to treat the things of God. Preaching the gospel is your child too. Do you get my point? Yes. Yeah, stop waiting for somebody to come and promise you the corner of heaven where your mansion will be. It'll be a corner plot in heaven. You know, the Lord said to me as I was praying this morning, anybody who participates in this, you're going to give me a corner plot in heaven. Do you know Christians actually believe that nonsense? You now say corner plot offering. So one gate will open onto Paul Avenue, the other gate will open onto Peter Boulevard. Do you know human beings will actually believe that rubbish? They do. Some of them will actually design the house they want to live in heaven on the earth and show it to God. So I'm sowing this, Lord. I like this design. There's one pastor ahead of fake prophet. So when you get to his office, you tell him the problem. He'll pick his phone and dial heaven. Yeah. And say, "Hello, God. Your son is here." Those are the days, there were no smartphones those days, table phones. You carry the phone and call God. And the pastor tells us the story. He said, "Do you know people believed? People queued up there to see the man who calls God." Oh, the Lord is good. How did I even enter that one again now? And it was a side trip anyway. I said, let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. The commandments are not what? Burdensome. Giving is not burdensome. That's what I was trying to say. So if you don't tithe, you go to hell. It's a lie. Anybody who tithe grudgingly, God doesn't even collect. The pastor is happy, but God doesn't collect it. Tithing time, blessing time. And we're like, "Oh, and I never pay school fees." Once you say that one, please take that tithe money and go and pay the school fees. I know what I said, though. Don't think I'm high on something. I'm not high on anything. Once you are grumbling in your heart, "Hey, this is tight. Oh, this one belongs to God. Tomorrow morning, now my son says if he doesn't pay, he will not be able to write the exam. Hey, God, what do I do now? If he doesn't pay now, the pastor will not even agree to pray with you. Say your tithe card is not up to date." Once you are thinking like that, can I beg you, go and pay your son's school fees. Because even if you drop that money, it is not acceptable. Why? The commandments of God are not what? They're not burdensome. They're not grievous. Am I saying 10% is too much to give? Why will I say that? I'm just saying you can't give it. It's too burdensome for you. You are the problem, not the money. Your motivation for giving must be a heart that appreciates the goodness of God, that understands his own personal responsibility. People ask me those days, can I use my tithe to help somebody? I said, look, that question, if you think about it well, it has no meaning. If you think about it well, I'll give you a very simple reason. Let us assume I have 2 children. That is, I want to talk about 2 of them. One has to go to school and has to pay school fees. One falls acutely ill. So I told him, I'll give you your school fees tomorrow. So I hold maybe 100,000 naira. You are going to school with this tomorrow. Then 11 o'clock, their mother calls me. Hey, daddy, come. This boy is shouting my stomach. I put him in the car, get to the hospital. The doctor says, pay 100,000 naira. We ask the doctor, can I use the other boy's school fees? Is that conversation going to come up? That conversation will not come up. It's my money. I will save this life first. If I eventually have small change, I'll sit down and hold it. I will go to the school if necessary and show them the admission card and receipts that I paid last night. So, I wanted to pay people fees today. Please, give me 1 more week. His brother is in hospital. Please. And if they still refuse, is there a problem? He will stay at home. But let's assume they accept. What will I do? I will still pay. I will not go to the school and say, good morning, bossa or principal. I wanted to pay you. But his brother fell sick. So I've used his school fees to take care of the stomach problem in the house. But thank God he's well now. But at least, you understand now? Will I say that? I will not say it. So you see, that question really has what? No meaning. Why we ask it is because we still think that if we don't cut 10% and give to God, you say, no, I won't take anything, your offering doesn't start counting yet. It's because we believe that falsehood that we ask such silly questions. Because we want our offering to count after we have helped somebody. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, we want the offering to count now. That's why we ask that irrelevant, baseless question. Do you get my point? But if my attitude was different, it was like, Kai, we're going for evangelism. Total bill is 1 million. I must contribute. Then suddenly at midnight, I have to spend money to help my neighbor who's critically ill. I will not give that excuse. What will I do? I will say, okay, evangelist people, please put me down for 70K. Before the end of the week, I should be able to raise it. I don't have to tell them the story about my neighbor. It doesn't concern them. And if peradventure I can't contribute, it will pain my heart, but I can't. Why? That's what they call a cheerful giver. I'm being responsible. I'm being generous. And peradventure, that was only 10%. The other 90%, is not still hanging around. So, I will not now say I want to use my tithe to help my neighbor. That would be fraudulent. There is another one. Do you get my point? I will just keep cutting and cutting until the money finishes. And when it finishes, I will say, Baba God, money don't finish. Even food, money don't finish now. Then I will go and pray for more money so I can buy food. I go say, but I gave you 700,000 naira. Where is it? Say, Baba God, let's start now. You gave me 700,000 and the devil gave that guy a stomach problem. We solved it. Uh-huh. Church, they go evangelism. I say, I must join now. I give them 100. Teachers say they are going to school. I gave them. Madam said her dresses are old. I gave her. Then one day I saw people fighting on the road. Over 50,000. And if I give 50,000, nobody will die. I gave. Now, so the money take finish. After that, I bought small food. But these children, you know the way they eat. It's holiday time. God said, okay, good boy. What portion did you use to smoke Igbo? Not a cup. That's what he did. He said, which portion did you use on Indian hemp? I didn't use a dime on Indian hemp. Yeah, chasing another woman. How much did you give? Ah, Baba God, you know me now. He said, I was just teasing you. So no money went to doing. Okay, which one did you lay on in the bank for rainy day? Not a dime. You say I shouldn't bother. He will nod. Well done, good and faithful servant. His commandments are not burdensome. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to us again. And please, pastors, teach people these things. They will give more money than all these fire, with blessing. All those ones that you bring fire brigade to come and collect from people, they are not blessed, you are not blessed, the preacher is not blessed, everybody just working for Satan. I hope you know that. Let me tell you something. Fire brigade preachers who lie to collect offerings, they leave a spirit of immorality behind. I won't explain that in details. Just believe what I've told you. They carry demons everywhere. Those guys are not good. Those who lie to collect money from the people of God, they are bad spiritually. Especially when they twist the scriptures, when they tell you that a special offering breaks the back of poverty, they are lying to people. Church people, let me tell you what you do. Pastors, teach them the truth. Just what is the truth? Your money belongs to God. You're an administrator of God's money. Love God, love your family, love the brethren, love your neighbor. Then go and do as occasion serves you. How can you be in a church, the roof is leaking, and you will not help to fix it? I remember a friend of mine I visited once, you know, pastor in the church, and he was building the church, and the church needed doors. In fact, there's another friend I visited. Last time I went to the church, I was telling the church members how I used to give him things when he started. Do you know, I was looking at it like, is this guy confusing me with somebody else? His wife was beside me telling me that it's true. I said, no, I think your husband is mistaken. She said, he's not mistaken. He started giving me details. I had to call my wife. I said, can you remember this? I said, okay, I remember part of it. Because I wasn't sowing a seed. They are just my friends who are doing ministry work. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, is that he said that I gave him money to buy AC. I said, I did. He said, let me confess, I did not. Though. I took your money, I used it for something else. We're all laughing about it. He said, because I said that where he was studying scriptures was too hot. There was not, do you get my point? There was no shit showing. There was nothing like that. My friend, they are just going to say, ah. He said, no, these are the kind of doors he wants to use. I said, okay. I didn't have money. So I told him that, can you get either a loan or credit something? I said, if you can, let me sign that I will pay. And I said, okay, give me 4 installments. I was going to pay him every month. Because the money was too much for me to, you know, I didn't have it. Not like I had it, no. I said, but if I break it to 4, I can send a quarter of it every month until it is paid up. But just recently I remembered it, you know. It was nothing. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You can't say you believe in the ministry I'm doing. And do you follow my point? You go to your church, your pastor is there, sweating every time, sweating. Ha! He's preaching for you. I see him on YouTube, telling people things that God is doing and everything. After church, you go home. You know the building is not his own. If you know how much, one pastor told me how much they burn every Sunday in this. Well, like 1-point-something millionaire. Yeah. There was one pastor I saw last time I went to Sokoto. We were talking. So, I told you about it, right? That he turned off his diesel, his generator, I think 3 hours a day. In 6 months, he bought a new plot of land in Lagos from diesel money. You told them, instead of Jen going up by this time, let it go up 3 hours earlier. That the total the money saved, at the end of 6 months, they bought a new plot of land for the church in Lagos. And you go to that kind of church. You say, oh, God will help them. You start your car and you drive away. Your engine should knock. If you are your engine, you will knock in solidarity. Do you get my point? That's what the Bible means, that you run to your own paneled houses. And the house of the Lord is left desolate. It's just, do you get my point? It's just a hard thing. I'm not trying to pay God off. You're just showing where your heart lies. How can I get home every day? My wife doesn't have dress to go out. Maybe her shoes cut. And I say, come now, let me go and mend it for you. Meanwhile, I show up with a new pair of Italian shoes. Praise God. You know, God is good in my life. Now, let's be honest. If you were God, would you do punish me? There's a bank, he come here for special punishment. For a man who hates his wife. Not loving his wife, but he hates the wife. You buy brand new Italian shoes for yourself. You are patching your wife's old shoes. Shouldn't you just wear her shoes and then buy new shoes for her? We will forgive you. You come to church with high heels. Shoes have been patched. No, if you wear it for 2 days, you will know where it's pinching her. Like I said to people, they say, your tithe belongs to God. I say, have you ever calculated tithe to feed my family? Have you ever calculated tithe to pay their school fees? Have you ever calculated tithe to buy myself a car? Why is it when it is God, I will be calculating? Why? Hey, you self check them. Pastors teach these things and rest. Sometimes they can't rest. That's how we manufacture. Doctrine manufacturing industries. When the tithe is not enough, no people are not paying it, we add first fruits to it. Your January salary belongs to God. That thing is a Nigerian joke. Yeah, it's a Nigerian joke. I hope you know that. Americans can't preach. It doesn't bring anything. Because they will get 1 week salary. I'm talking to pastors. So. Relax. What did I say?
Relax.
Relax. Relax. You don't need to manufacture doctrine for anybody. Relax. I see all kinds of things. You have to redeem your firstborn. You say, pastor, which one is redeeming my firstborn? You say, how much? You say, you value your child by yourself. Hey, people of God, please now. Can I feel like prostrating to thank you, pastors. You people should stop this thing. Okay, not you people. We people. All of them. They should stop it. Eh? We will not do it again. Amen. Because sometimes angels are wondering whether we are smoking a book. Honestly. Oh, I got stuck in that. But see, let me just warn all of you today, all right? I have not yet started the message I want to preach today. And I must finish it. What did I say?
I must finish it.
Okay? The thing I want to say, I must say it too. His commandments are not what? What are the commandments he said we should obey? That's the main thing I want to preach. Because of the time, I won't bother opening scriptures. We all know they are simple things. One, love your neighbor as yourself. It's not burdensome. It's not burdensome. It's not hard. Those are the things he's judging. You park your car. You didn't ask, how would they drive out? Many of us are there criticizing and abusing politicians. We are worse than them. I know how God said we are worse than them. Where we park our cars. There's a reason why the society says don't double park. It's simply because of freedom of traffic movement. Don't be comfortable with putting your car where to disrupt other people's lives. Sometimes my dog is barking in the house. He has this annoying protest bark. There's normal bark when you see somebody you don't like. But a bark like, why did you chain me here? I'm thirsty, bring water. And I know the difference. Sometimes this dog is just barking a protest bark. So I tell my kids, go and move the dog from there. Take him to this other side. Why? I say it's near the neighbor's house. That's where I'm going. Why did I say that? I said, because I can't imagine my neighbor's dog barking like this. I will be upset. And the only reason why I say move the dog, because on the other side is empty plot. I said, move him to this side. So the noise that he's making will disturb only us and the bush. You know, empty plot of land. And that's the only reason. I'm not thinking of any. I just go and move him from. And sometimes it's night. I wake my kids up. Go and move that dog. Why is he making so much noise? What's my reason? I feel like he's disturbing the neighbor. Is the reason why at my gate, I horn lightly. Papa, if I need to horn for one of these boys to come open the gate for me, I tap the horn gently. Thank God a lot of times they recognize it and they come. If they don't, I use my phone. But you know the way a lot of people do. Get it? Pah! I said, this horn is not targeted. It radiates into the whole atmosphere. What? Do you know, abroad they will call police for you. Because they expect you to have respect for other people. I told you, disorder is one major problem we have in this nation. Look, listen. We didn't have uninterrupted power supply, but some of us are in Band A now. We didn't have uninterrupted power supply. We still don't have. Many of our roads are not good. Water in Enugu where we are. Our governor is working on water. He has not yet reached where he's supposed to be. We thank God for his life, but it's not there. I hope you get my yet. We're not there yet. We have so many issues. But you know the thing that bothers me most about living in Nigeria? Just one thing, not two. It's not crime. There's crime everywhere. There's crime everywhere. Yesterday, I was reading the news. One woman was found guilty of manslaughter for shooting her neighbor dead because she banged on her door. So if you think you run to this crime in Nigeria, I'm going, your neighbor is the one that will shoot you where you are going. So just relax. I did. When an armed robber shoots you, we know you were shot by a crazy person. Not when your neighbor shoots. 60-year-old woman. No? This guy is a Nigerian woman, 35 thereabout. That one cocked a gun and shot through the door and killed her. And her lawyer said she felt threatened. Now, where I'm going is this. Eh? Those things are there. They don't bother me. What bothers me personally is that I live amongst people that are not civil. I'm sorry. Not people to be civil. You make noise. You don't care about your neighbor. You park your car at somebody's gate. And you need for me to come and stand there and be saying, who parked this car? Why? Sometimes we behave as if, I'm sorry, we don't think. Boss will stop in the middle of the road to drop somebody and pick another passenger. And then wait to tell you sorry. You know, if God gave me the power, I will lick your four tires and park you on one side. One day I was in Lagos. One was a policeman. Somebody did it. The boss did that in Lagos. Stopped in the middle of the road to pick somebody. We're behind, honey. He waited, picked the passenger, and now waved his hand, said, sorry. The guy in front of me overtook him, brought out his gun, and smashed his window. That's how, and it was a force man. I don't know whether police or military, and he had a gun on him. Nobody had a gun, and just hit the guy. He was so angry that, how can you keep a whole convoy of cars going about their business, waiting because you want to pick a passenger? You could have cleared. That's what I call incivility. That is what, listen, I'm talking about commandments of God. And please, why am I preaching this? Christians, please, you must be different too. Difference is not how many hours you spend in church. That's why I told the story earlier about people who they pray every night, then one day they park and weak. You know, see, you want to divorce your husband, it's your problem, not our problem. Is that okay? But to not decide that he will not see his children again, you are wicked. Did you hear what I said? Please, I do not mean to be mean. But let me tell you, to a man, a woman, and you are doing that. See, you want to leave the man. You know, some of these men are mad. I know. Some of these women are evil spirits. Some people go and marry evil spirits. Please, if you are single here, I want to pray for you, a man. May you not marry an evil spirit disguised as a woman in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please, God, please, I beg anybody who said amen, spare them this trouble.
Amen.
Some women are evil. Some men too are evil people around. May God deliver you from them.
Amen.
The Bible says their hands are snares. Your heart's a chain. You just be pleasing to God, you'll be delivered.
Amen.
Sometimes I look at my wife. My wife gets her own Niger Delta behavior. But her heart is not a chain. Her hands are not snares. Nothing. My wife doesn't like trouble. You'll be surprised. You think she doesn't like trouble, though. She doesn't want it. And I appreciate that for you. So, sometimes I say, well, see, let me tell you something about me. Let me just be honest with you. Eh? This is not bragging. No. This is a fault, okay, which I have not yet known how to repent of. God will help me. I just told myself that. The only reason why I have a stable marriage, not the only, I mean, humanly speaking, God is the reason. Are you getting my point? But humanly speaking, 90% is my wife. Yeah, she causes 90% of the trouble also anyway, but you see. The reason why I say what I say is that, I'm the kind of person, say, if the wife pack bag, say they go, I'm not going to beg you, may come back. Where I'm going is this. That's why I tell you that 90% of the reason, humanly speaking, why I have a house and the wife is there, is not me. So please, what you just need to pray is that God will give you a wife like my own, who no matter what, she's not going anywhere. She will just look at you. She believes in a stable, healthy home. She does. I'm testifying. All right? So I didn't tell you that she's an angel. You know, say, Mrs. V, I didn't see your wings. No, that's not what I mean. A normal person, but her value system is what I'm talking about. Some women are very wicked. The other day, my wife and I are talking about it. Even if she's the one, like I said, if you want to leave the man, I'm not saying you should leave the man, but if you had to leave, do you have to, like, I will do you something? You take a man's children away from him for 10, 12 years. He has not seen them one day, and you are sleeping well, and you think a God in heaven is not watching you? Like my wife said, if I'm the one, if I was the one, I would drive the children to draw them in your house. I'll do you work and drive away. I'm not talking to you. But why would I tell you not to see these kids? Why? Even if it's not for your sake, for their sake. For their sake. Abba! There was one woman recently I heard her story. I didn't know what I had to do. Doing. She planned that for her husband. Carry her children, gave to her mother, then traveled. Planned to arrange for the children to join her. The man wouldn't see them again. The guy found out. He put all the strings he had on earth. Dragged the matter I found out as far as appeal courts. Claimed the children back. from their grandmother's custody. And that's it. She's abroad. They're with him. Now she's stranded. But you know what? From what I found out, even then, if she shows up, the guy has no problem. You drive to the mall, yeah? See them at the mall. After that, everybody enter this car. We're going back home. But some people's hearts are so bad. These children's father. And you take them away just to toy him. You know what they call toying? Please, I'm begging you. That is too wicked. What I'm telling you now, next, is not beg. It's a warning. Their God will arise and he will judge. Yeah, the husband, the God of your husband and those children. You can't take children away from their father like that. And their mother too. One man in America, nobody should do this. If you do this one, you go to hell by yourself. You know what he did? When his wife finished with him, he just went to America. He got there. She packed away from the house and that kind of thing. Went to another house. The guy just went to the house. Knocked. Saw the children. Where's your mother? He says in the bathroom. Took a gun. The bathroom shot out the head and the chest. Nigerian guy. That was last year. Shot her in the head and the chest. Then went to the phone. Picked the phone. Called the police. Said, I just shot that. Call her one bad name. And then dropped the gun and sat on the porch in front, waiting for them to come. When the police came, what does it matter? They left him. They have sense. They first left him. The new guy is not planning to run away. He went to the woman. She was still alive. They carried her, rushed her to hospital, did everything before they had time to arrest him. But she died there. The guy didn't care. What he did was it good? Of course not. How can that be good? That was bad. But what pushed him was this. They said he had worshipped that woman all his life. Married her when she was very young. I think she was 19 or so. He had worked all his life to make sure she was happy and comfortable. Then when things now settled, Jezebel now grew wings. The Bible says Jeshurun became fat and kicked the wrong person. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. The commandment we have as husbands and wives is slightly different, but this applies to everybody. Husbands, love your wives as yourself. Is that what he said? How did he love your wife? As Christ loved the church. That's a totally different one. It's a totally different one. I still meditate on it till today. I'm trying to say, it's love your wife, not as she deserves, but as what? Yeah, sometimes maybe my wife does something that makes me unhappy. And then she needs help in one area. I will close my eyes and help and not even say, sorry, but I must render the help. That's what Christ said. Do you get my point? Like maybe I told my wife now, I don't think she should go for that event. She said, no, I must go. It's nice. My friend now. And I don't say anything. She now goes on the road. Tire now. Boss for there. You know what they always do? You have been there. First thing the women will do, pick the phone and call him. My husband. You know you're angry. So it's not, oh, honey, how are you? No, it's, You know, as I was just crushing the bread, I don't even know what happened. I don't even know what happened. No. Then the tire just went down, poor. You do climb bottle. I don't know. You do climb nail. I don't know. You not get there. And found that there were some spikes we were using for construction. She saw them and climbed them. Have you been there before? And then you will now, of course, she will now sit in the car. Because you're a nice guy. That's what I would do. Sit in the car. Then you'll now be jacking the tire. And you'll be confessing scriptures. I love my wife. As Christ loves this, and then like, and I got, you're just, hey, by the way, if you don't do it, you're a sinner. That tire, you must jack it. Let me just say what you do. When you finish jacking the tire, when you have changed the tire, you've taken the new one, or like I used to do for my wife, I just get there, drop my own car, enter madam, they go. Because if you stay here, I will get angry. Just enter my own car and go away. You're telling yourself, love your wife. Guys, let me tell you, if you don't do it, you're a sinner now. If you say, I told her not to go, the tire don't leak now. May it stay there. But I say, don't worry. Next time I tell her not to go somewhere, I'm waiting for you. Shebi, last time I told you not to go for old boys association meeting. They were kidnapping on the road. I delivered you. Next time, they will catch you. That is what is called love your wife. Not as she deserves, but what? As Christ loved the church, that he gave himself up for her. He left her car, his car, for her to drive. That he might sanctify her with the washing of water. What does that mean? Next time you come, say, sweetheart, next time I tell you not to go suffer, you say, don't go. See what happened now. You disobey. Now me go suffer. Is that good? It is Christ. Do you get my point? It's like a child disobeys. He's now sick. Who will pay? So that's another doctrine. We're not teaching that one now. Okay? But what am I teaching? Brethren, please. The commandments are simple. I'm not coming and giving the revelation. You know, no, deep things. No. I don't have time for that. Today is simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. You work for somebody. In your mind, just be thinking all the time. Maybe I'm the boss. And this guy is working for me. How will I want to be treated? Or how will I want him to treat me? Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. It's simple. Somebody gave you a contract. Build a house. Just assume it is my house. Now, listen to me. That is what God expects. You've heard this story. I think I told you here before. I read one of these big preachers. He decided to help his brother who was not as rich as him. And the guy was a builder. So he gave the guy a contract to build a house. They designed the house together. Okay, now, go and build. The guy built and built. The day he finished the house, he handed him gave his brother the keys. The brother now smiled and gave him back the keys that the house is yours. That guy said, I cry. Why? He had used the most useless materials. He had done a useless job because he wanted to milk his brother of money. Not knowing that his brother was preparing a surprise package for him. So basically, he cheated himself out of a good house. If he had built that house as if it was for himself, he would have been living in a very good house. But he built it as if my brother has money, let me eat. Let me tell you one major reason why workmen, many of them, you're an architect, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has experienced this. Go and tell workmen, if you want to preach to them this gospel. Many of them, 30 years later, they'll still be looking for daily jobs. Why? It's God that promotes people. It's God. No, it's God. It's God. There was one guy who used to do some work for me. He knows his work quite good. Then one day I went to his shop, me and our brother, Bishop, the other architect, you know, our architect, Bishop. And I told him that, Bishop was not there. I said I was waiting for Bishop to come and see, let's talk. He said, no, he doesn't want to talk to Bishop. I said, what is it? That Bishop is not helping him. Bishop builds sometimes very big houses, and there's a lot of job inside that, inside those houses. So that Bishop is not connecting him with big jobs. He was explaining to me that that's how people help each other. Eh? That look at it now. Bishop was doing this work. It's like Bishop to call him. So when Bishop now came, I would not say, okay, Bishop, you say, try help. Make a long story short. The guy, later I found out he would, why was this guy not calling him? Because he couldn't be trusted. He's blaming the man that's not calling him. He did some work for my wife some time ago. I called it, everything fell apart. And I called him, this work has fallen apart. I did come. So this guy tell me for one whole year. Until finally, I had to get somebody else to do the job. And I never gave him jobs again. He said he was building a chapel. I don't want to give names, but I seem to remember the name. And then one guy was carving stuff in there. So he was carving, artwork. You know, they used to build cathedrals those days. Drawing stuff, carving stuff. So somebody pointed out to him that what you are doing is in a part of the building that will be hidden. When they finish the whole building, nobody will see it. So why are you putting that much effort into it, something that nobody will see? You know what he said? God will see it. I don't know whether I get my point. They are building a pillar. He's carving the pillar, carving it. So they point out to him that, look, the ceiling is going to come lower than that level. So above that level, you don't have to put this amount of work into it. Leave it. Nobody will see it. The guy said, but God will see it. You will cover it to human beings, but God will see it. Please treat life like that. Everything I do, God will see it. I was talking about workmen. I know they are very good with doing things badly that nobody will see. Some of them are so bad, if you don't supervise them, your building will collapse. They're supposed to put maybe, what do you call those, your rods, the one you use for columns. How many mm? Maybe 16 mm. And you're supposed to maybe put like 5 of them, weave it together. You are not looking. They will put 3. Knowing that before you come, they will have poured concrete into it. Then one day the building collapses. and they think their own life will not collapse. Mechanics will take money from you. Tell you they want to change parts. They will not change it. Take the old one, clean it a bit, put it back, and then the car fails, the brake fails, the person has an accident, and you think you will sleep in peace? No, tell this workman that, listen, it is not me that we are talking about. It's that in 30 years, see this construction firm I'm doing, my children will be running it. My children will be running it. I will be so successful, you will hardly see me. You will still be begging my children for daily work. It's not because you are not educated, though. It's because God didn't see it fit to promote you. Was I not talking about because Charis earlier? That I said I finished school in primary 3. Let me tell you something. If you're a workman, just make up your mind. I don't need supervision. That is, you tell yourself, I don't need to be supervised in the name of Jesus. That is like, anytime the supervisor comes, checks your work, he has nothing to correct. Look at the roof in our house. You know the roof of a building? This stone-coated roof, you know? After we moved in there and all of that, one day I now had some issues, so I called Bishop. So Bishop called the architect who installed the roof. So the guy brought his drone, all right? That's how he inspects the roof. So use the drone to inspect the roof, only to discover that those guys who sat on the roof for days hammering, put only half of the nails. I like how he said, why? The nails are there. They are not your own. You are paid, they've calculated what you will be paid. But because the boss will not climb the roof. And listen to me, this was not 2 days later. Maybe long after. Of course, when they put the roof, nobody moved into the house maybe for the next 1 year or so. He now called the guy, now brought his drone and started inspecting line by line. I found out, no, now. You're supposed to have this set of nails here and this set of nails here. They just put one set, jump the next one. So when the breeze is plenty, the roof will flap. If tomorrow you are doing roof and one angel pushes you over, they say the witches in your village. It's not the witches now. It's the bad work you are doing there. His commandments are not grievous. They will come to John. What must we do? He said, what is the proper tax rate? He said, it's 15%. Don't take 16. Take that 15 and go home. Please, if you're a civil servant and you're a Christian, let me just tell you now. If you, look, all people that work in tax office, you come to an office, harass them with tax bill, so they can come and give you money, then you can regularize it. In summary, God will punish you. I don't need to say more than that. Let the unbeliever, let it be that. See, let me tell you what God is looking for. He wants a place where when one of his children is there, all right, everybody will rest. Oh, that one is a Christian. They won't worry. Only one guy had some dealing to do in my office. We didn't know each other, all right? So we had to pay them a lot of money. We bought some things from them. So one day, now met another of our brothers. I didn't know they were connected. So he now mentioned that, he's doing something in Enugu. I said, one of my brothers is there now. So along the line, it turned out that he knew me. So the answer to that is a Christian. No, he's even a preacher. That was talking about me. That guy got like, yes! I don't get the point. He knew he had no problem. The moment had never met me. The guy just told him, the guy you are dealing with is a Christian. In fact, he's a preacher. And that guy said, praise God! We delayed paying them for almost 8 months. It didn't cross his mind that we're looking for a bribe. And the day the accountant finally, by that day I remember, the accountant said, the money is ready. So the ball is in their court. I said, it is in their court. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
Me, they're doing all the running up and down. I'm not charging them 50 kobo. You that you just done your work to finally release money. Which ball? Let it stay in their court, because they're not playing it back here. And of course, as soon as the money was ready, I just told them, we have come. The guy just ran, did all the transaction, wired them their money 100%. He didn't have to call me and say, so. I told you one day, I've told this story here, that same office, that same period, I was handing that office. I told one guy, do this job now. I said, is it 1.7 million? The guy said, 1.5 million. He said, 1.8 or nothing. I knew at 1.5, half of that half. See, 70% of that money is just a service charges for himself. The real material things he will do, that you have to buy these, hire people, is not up to 30%. So I didn't, but I, for certain reasons, I agreed for 1.5. And I told him, don't worry. Just accept 1.4. Yeah. Something like, and I'm beginning to forget the figures. The guy refused. He said he had to be, I think, 1.7. There was 300,000 naira difference. You know, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Finally, as he was stepping out, something just dawned on me. I said, come, you're not giving me a dime. He came back. He said, what did you say? I said, no, you don't have to give me 5 kobo. He said, which one is your church? That was the question he asked me. I said, oh, that has been the problem. He said, yes, now that the 300,000 I'm arguing for is what he has to give me. So that was why he was so unreasonable with my pricing. I said, oh, do you know, on the spot, the guy said, no problem. Oh, yeah, it was 1.4, I remember. That's what I remember. He said, no, on the spot, he agreed. He signed, took the job. He said, okay, which one is your church? You are sitting in a government office? You don't want anything? In my mind, I'm sitting in God's office. If I want something, I believe in God's punishment. Other people say that God is a merciful God. He's merciful upon those who fear him. The grace does not cover misbehavior. The guy said, which one is your church? That was the question he asked me that day. I said, forget my church. Yes, I'm a Christian, I agree. It's not about my church. Christians, God said, just don't take. His commandments are not what? Grievous. His commandments are not grievous. Why can't you be nice? Why should somebody enter your office in the morning, doesn't meet a smile on your face? Is he your husband? You quarrel with your guy at home. How is that every man that enters the office now must meet the Jezebel in you? No, let's talk about these things. You find Christians that are not nice people. There's a guy I know. People say that if this guy is the reason why somebody should be a Christian, I will never be one. And you know, we read somewhere. He said, if you are persecuted for what? That what you are doing? He said, better that you want people to speak evil falsely about you because of me. No, these guys are not being evil spoken of falsely because of Christ. It's that he's just a bad person. He doesn't want others to progress. He's impatient with people. Why can't you be nice? Let me just say, it's a decision you make. Well, I'm going to be nice to people. When children are seeing you, they are dodging. See, let me just say, if children dodge, all the children you know, they see you, they dodge. Just know you have a spiritual problem. The demon inside you needs to be cast out. You need to call Pastor Dami and Pastor Okemote. Two of them have to jointly sink you in water, hold you down there. You can't baptize you free like that. They have to keep you inside the water, and they bring you out. Then bring 2 bottles of oil and empty on that your wicked head. How come every child is dodging you? You've not thought about it. Uncle, let me just look for a name. Uncle Adam is coming. I'm not at home. Then your friend comes. Everybody races to go and greet him. He said, the children of this day, they like bribe too much. You. Why shouldn't you bring sweet for children? Listen, let me tell you the truth. I command you in Jesus' name from now, be nice to children. Amen. Look at Jesus Christ. Everybody said, no. If they are carrying children, let them come to me. Let them come to me. That was what he said. His commandments are not grievous. That's what I'm talking about. When you are going to tap the children on the head, carry them, give them high five, smile. And if the parents don't meet that your friends are coming, bring biscuit and give them. You can't be looking as if you are Apollon, the guardian of the abyss. You look like the guardian of the abyss. Because of what? Let me tell you, there's what the Bible calls a good man. There's a righteous man. And there's a good man. A righteous man doesn't want to just follow the law. They don't. This is the way it's supposed to be done. In this office, no. Somebody comes to work, is frowning. They don't care. You're supposed to be here by 8. You're not here by 8. No. Yeah, you're not here by 8. This is your penalty. And the fellow is frowning. They say, come, what is the problem? Why are you frowning? To me, I know they look face. So you are wicked. Stop. One day I'm noticed by a lot of people. They brag on bad habits. One day, one of my guys, students went to meet me. Meet him. Hey, please. So they will run and come and meet me. Say, please help us talk to him. So I'll call him. I say, my guy. So one day I came again. They were talking to him. He said, let me tell all of you. I'm not delusional. I said, Why are you bragging on the fact that you are not original? I mean, what is there to brag about? I'm not renowned for being soft per se. Do you get my point? But also, what are you bragging about? And I'm asking, why do we as Christians want to have a reputation of being bad people? I'm not talking about unjustly. If they say, don't mind that guy, he's not a team player because you don't agree to share money that they have stolen, it's a different matter. But you can never ask him for anything, he will never agree. His commandments are not grievous. Christians should be good people. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. You can't be the troublemaker in the neighborhood. Some of you, all they need for you. I stand up for my right. Okay, you've been standing for a long time. Where has it carried you to? Nobody likes in your office. I don't stand up for my right. Anybody? No. For people to cheat you is part of being a godly person. You will be cheated. When they're sharing things in the office, take last. Say, just tell them no. How many of us are sharing? Okay. Whatever is remaining, give to me. But no, I'm the senior here. You cannot making no. Some of these we just need to talk about them because you see Christians going around bragging on bad habits. I'll just list a few things and then I close. I've already mentioned that you must be careful about other people's feelings. You must be kind. Here's the one funny thing. 2 days ago, one funny thing happened. My children went to, driving the car to throw away some household rubbish at the bin for the area. So my son wanted to dash the boy. There are these guys who just hang around there. So they helped carry all the trash, put it inside there. So when you are going, we just give him some money. So I wanted to give the boy 15 naira. And I said, this day and age, 15 naira, what does it amount to? We're just joking about it. So I checked my pocket. So that's the only money he had. So I checked my pocket. All I had was 1,000 naira notes. So, of course, 1,000 is a lot of money to just dash somebody, just help you carry something from your car and throw it inside the bin. So I was about to drive away. I just reasoned to myself, this boy is not begging. No. 100 naira is what you wanted to give him. Yes. Now, 100 naira to him, 1,000 naira to you. Just reason it. And I realized that 1,000 naira to me is nothing compared to 100 naira is to him. So I just told my son, it's his lucky day. So I took 1,000, I said, give it to him. Tell him it's his lucky day. I said, I just can't drive away. I won't give him anything. So I had to part with 1,000 for such, that is, what I wanted to give. In fact, I told myself, now, this sounds funny. I said, at least, he's not, where's the Yinka who was driving with me? He's not the policeman who said I didn't have tinted permit, which I don't need. I had to pray for that one, that God will remove authority from his hand. There's a reason why. I won't talk about that in details. You understand? I said, but this boy, I said, who deserves my 1,000 naira really? Who does? I told my son, give me the 1,000 naira. It's his lucky day. It is good to be nice. My wife has some nice aspects. To me, I have my own problem. Sometimes I think whether I'm mentally unstable, I don't know. If you are doing a function, you invited my wife as a guest. She sits down, she sees you don't have ushers. At this age, you should be your usher. Some of you may have noticed it. She can't sit down. I said, sweetheart, sit down now. She said, they don't have anybody helping to serve. She said, so you are the one that will serve? She said, but so who will help them now? So one day, she has a friend. That girl has not been very nice to her, really. And I told her, don't deceive yourself, she's not your friend. But she does jobs like, cooking and stuff like that. So one day went for a function and she was the, what do you call it? The caterer. So my wife just sat down and said, if she's the one, she will never help you. So my wife sat down there. So we're at the function. But she kept on watching, said, look at the way she's struggling. Said, my husband, I can't stand it. So she got up. Went and met her. How are you? Greeted. Bam. Has worn gloves. Done everything. Papa, papa. Carry plate. I said, this girl. Well, God will bless you, Sha. Except that me, I don't have a wife now. So you've gone to donate yourself to your friend. But she said, I just can't stand it. She said, I know she wouldn't do it for me. That's what she said. She said, I know she wouldn't do it for me. He said, but I can't sit. So she got, I was watching. She had, the way, don't wear gloves. Begin to do this. Arrange this one. Carry plate. Serve this person. Because the woman took a job, she didn't have a hand, and she's paid for that job, by the way. Yeah, it's a job. My wife just A guest just happens to know the caterer. I'm talking about, you know, some of us will get to church. Nobody likes you. Even that your prayer, your neighbors are wishing that that fire you are calling will fall on your head first so that they can sleep. Your Christianity that does not translate to simple things like this is worthless. Forget all this noise you are making. See, we have spoken in tongues too. Let me tell you one of my own issues. I was praying during the night. I had prayed for a long time. I said, when are you going to start speaking in tongues? I said, I have not yet finished the one I have in English. Some people, they have nothing to say in English. Just embarrassing the neighborhood. And it was simple. I was praying from Psalm 25, 26, 27. You know, praying, you pray those psalms, you decode some things, you explain something to the Lord, you talk about your life, talk about your ministry, talk about your family, talk about things. I had not finished it. God also understands English. Yes. Where I'm going there, don't stop thinking about my harassers. I think you are the most spiritual human being that they ever created. Meanwhile, you can't help somebody, fetch water, give somebody a cup of water, you can't. His commandments are not grievous, they are simple. Honor your word. If you tell somebody, I'll bring this thing for you tomorrow, if you can't get there tomorrow, a day before, call the person. I am supposed to come tomorrow. Please, these are the challenges I'm having. What I don't like is you. But I've explained now, he doesn't want to understand. That attitude, is what I can't stand. Even if my wife does it then. She will be like, why are you angry about this small thing? I say, I'm angry about this small thing because you think you have a right that I should understand. But also, I've explained to you. I refuse to understand. You should be telling me, that is, I want to see, you know what they call contriteness? Yes, you should be contrite. Is it contrition, Mama? Oyinbo? Is contriteness wrong? Both of them are correct. Right? I want to see contrition. Okay, don't be angry. I'm sorry. Not that I've explained to you now. You don't even want to hear explanation. Don't have that attitude. You owe me. You're supposed to pay me, give me this thing by tomorrow. Call me a day ahead, sir. I'm supposed to deliver tomorrow. I will not be able to deliver. Be nice about it. And if there's a cost to it, pay the cost. Somebody that's sorry solves the problem. I told you I'm traveling. You're supposed to give me a bag or something. I'm going to cloth. I'm going to Lagos. My flight is 8 o'clock. I said, you give me today. You didn't bring it. And I said, I'm so sorry. I can't deliver. I said, but my flight is 8 o'clock now. What does you tell me that, sir? Can I send it to the park the day after? Then you pay the cost. Say, a friend of mine will pick it up from the park there and use Uber. What do you call that Uber delivery? They have this Uber delivery people. You know, they don't carry, that is like, you order them, they just deliver goods for you. Said, I will pay for them to bring it to you. That is how you behave. Not, I've told him sorry, he's still angry. He has the right to be angry. Like I said, go and read your Bible. The man that was owing the master a lot, he didn't say, I've told you sorry now. I've told you sorry. What did he say? Have patience with me. Give me time. I will pay you all. The prodigal son didn't come home. Daddy, I'm back. I'm so sorry about everything. Daddy, I'm back. I'm back. Did he do that? What did he say? I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. I came here to look for work. It was the father that now decided to show him mercy. This is a, we like to demand mercy. You jam somebody's motor, but I told you sorry. What do you still want me to do? To kill myself? Meanwhile, the guy talking never bring money. What annoys me are those who be talking without bringing money. Before you talk like that, bring money. Say, my panel beater is coming. I'm going to do auto biz. Then, hey, you can now be talking. You are prostrating, you are still talking. Oh, God, I don't beg you now. How about waiting? Even God said, would they beg me the degree? These are people that will never receive mercy. The point is, don't be like that. What did I say? Respect your elders. Simple things. The commandments are not grievous. Honor your elders. An old woman enters a bus you are seated in. Help her scan for a good seat. If it's not available, get up and give up your own. Even if we have to sit for the rest of life, she has a shorter period to sit. Abby? Do you follow my point? So get up. Let her have the seat. Don't be doing that. I came here first. No, help the old woman. Help her. Be nice to people. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Pity the weak. Simple things like that. Pity the weak. There was one girl when we were serving her. Hey, if that girl could marry me by force, she would have married me. Do you know what happened? Just one thing that happened. Not two things. Just one thing. We went to the games reserve, to the hippopotamus pool. When we were leaving, it was in the afternoon. The hippos didn't come out. So we threw stick, just trying to get the hippos to come out of the pool. So we could see their heads, but we don't see the size. So the guy told us this afternoon that they don't come out. It's only evening they come out to graze. You know, because of their body fat, they stay in water the whole day. We now left. We're now going back to where the vehicle that brought us, it was a tractor, all right? We sat in the trailer. So we're now going back to where it was parked. Then suddenly the bull, you know, they also have a bull and then the females. The bull gave a loud shout, which we all interpreted as they are chasing us. Or more, you never see race like that before. And they are told that hippo will trample you to death. So I don't think of my mama. People that don't know where I am. There was no GSM, you know. This was in Taraba State. We left our place. Did you ever go to the Gashaka Gumti Games Reserve? We drove into the thick forest and game reserve. Bush left, bush right, hippo behind. Road in front. Serious. Every man, we're NYC member, coppers. We're running. Then suddenly I remember that this girl, she's small sized. She can't run. So I stopped, turned, went back, gave her my hand. As she put her hand in mine, I pulled and started running. Then they told us to stop, that the thing is just backing, it's not coming out of the pool. That didn't last more than 10 seconds. That girl never forgot. And she wasn't particularly one of the couples that I knew. In fact, she wasn't staying in the barracks, she was staying in town. That, yeah, life in danger. You remember to come and get this one? The girl felt I was the most wonderful human being on this earth. Meanwhile, there was this guy who used to threaten the girl all the time that he's going to marry her by force. The girl said, after that, said, don't talk to me again, this one. That day as we were going, we were in that trailer. The guy was laughing. The girl, she didn't find it funny. She was looking at him like, so if true, hippopotamus won't kill us. Now the bank could remember say I did here. Come on, be nice. All right, look, let me end my message, all right? Last, a few more points. One, honor your word. And last of all, enjoy doing good. All right? I just want to add this one for young boys. And I'll finish my message. People have gone to say that Pastor Frank said, we don't need nice men. That's not what I said. You took me out of context. I said, godliness is more important than niceness. So don't go and marry a man that's nice, but doesn't go to church. You will suffer. That's the point I'm making. Godliness is more important than niceness. Having said that, young boys, try and be nice. Eh? So some boys, they turn a bad habit to cool. I open my point. You can't be seen carrying a lady's bag or carrying a lady's luggage so that your friends won't laugh at you. Let me pray for you. If you are like that, Jezebel will be nice to you. You know what that means? She will deceive you. Don't be ashamed of helping ladies. Young boys, I'm telling you, they will be crossing mouth like this. You've been harassing those girls in your class before. You want to be a tough guy. It's not necessary. Go back and go and tell them, say, all the days I talked to you badly, I repent. The pastor said we should repent. There is nothing wrong. Even if you're in secondary school, please. They said you should sweep the class. Just nicely tell the ladies, hey, you ladies, make it a joke. Stay over here, watch the boys walk. You get my point? Turn it to a joke. Say, guilty as charged. See, the way he's laughing. He can't even let. Koya and Obi, they've oppressed all the girls in their. That is. Is it not true?
So it's you.
He said it's you. Please, let me, because I'm trying to round up. I don't want to come back to this message. This is the point I'm making. Make a good thing fun. Tell the girls, eh? You guys wait behind. Ah, the Bible calls you people the weaker sex. We're not weaker. Wait. Go there. Carry the load. Mop the class. It's okay. You guys can decorate the, you can decorate the windows now. It sounds like a joke, but it's a good thing. I hope you're getting my point. Don't say no. No, nobody will turn into a woman rapper. You're not a woman. It's people like you that end up being woman rapper, woman legging, you know, woman attachment. Yeah, do you follow my point? It's not, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Let's see you carry load on the head. What are you doing? It's my wife's box. As long as it's your wife's box. Even if it's not your wife's box, it's your sister's box. If I don't carry it, she will have to carry it. Do you get my point? Please, let's make the doing of good a habit. And for the young guys, be nice to all the ladies. Oh, baby? You understand now? It is him. Go and teach him. And him too, two of you should call. Next time you see all those ladies, say, ah, have extra money. Let's come and pay for our sins. Buy ice cream and give them. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Ice cream don't cost this. Buy yogurt. The Lord is good. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. I can now make only. I can now rest. I have said everything I'm supposed to say. At least in this regard. Let me summarize with this. Spirituality is learning, you know, divine precepts and living life regularly by it. It is not how you be hearing voices that the rest of us can't hear. Please don't go mad on us. Amen? And the Lord will bless you. Bow down your heads and give it up. Thanks for today. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just give it all thanks. If you have learned anything today, give him thanks. And then it may look like small things, many areas, but just repent, repent. Some of you have not been nice to your wife. You shout on your wife every day. All those who have been doing it, stop it. Be nice. Say, Lord, help me, help me. Help me, help me. Let's not brag on being brash. Repent of not being nice to your neighbors. No, just little things about life. That's what we're talking about. Say, Lord, help me. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. The Lord is good. Father, we thank you for today. Just give the Lord thanks, all right? Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks for his goodness in your life, for the blessing he's given you. Thank him for the goodness in your life. Say, Lord, thank you for making me a good person. Because of the power of Christ, I can be. Because of the power of Christ, I can be. Because of the power of Christ, I can be the good person that you created me to be. I've been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Say, Lord, thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you.
Amen.
I said, the Lord bless you.
Amen.
And the Lord will keep you.
Amen.
The Lord will make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
He will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you.
Amen.
And he will give you peace.
Amen.
He will bless you with the blessings of rain from above.
Amen.
And of deep waters from beneath.
Amen.
You have blessings of many cattle.
Amen.
And blessings of many children.
Amen.
You have blessings of grain and flowers.
Amen.
Blessings of ancient mountains.
Amen.
Delightful things from everlasting hills.
Amen.
These blessings will rest upon your head.
Amen.
And upon your brow as a child of God.
Amen.
The purpose of God will prosper by your hands.
Amen.
Now, as you travel, you will be safe.
Amen.
Please let me beg you for something. Anytime you want to enter a car, say, peace be upon this vehicle.
Yes.
It's not your own, no. You just want to enter. It's keke, it's a bus, it's an aircraft, whatever it is. Say it, peace be upon this vehicle. Now, this is the word of the Lord. Your peace will rest upon it.
Amen.
And your fellow passengers will be protected for your sake.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There will be accidents. Somebody will say, yeah, everybody died that I was spared. Yeah, that's a good testimony. But for your sake, nobody will die.
Amen.
Paul was in a terrible one. You remember the story? On the ship. And he prayed to God. I know that. And the angel of God said, God has granted you the life of everybody in this boat with you. Henceforth, that will be your testimony.
Amen.
That this set of young medical students we heard was kidnapped in Benue State 2 days ago. Father, we ask you for their release in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We ask you to capture their kidnappers in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, capture them one by one in Jesus' name.
Amen.
End their trade in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
End that their trade in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father God, we're asking, don't let any one of them get away.
Amen.
But as for the children that they took, the young men, young women they took captive, that is your job. You set the captives free.
Amen.
Lord, set them free, we ask of you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we're asking you, have mercy upon their families.
Amen.
Have mercy upon their friends.
Amen.
Have mercy upon their household.
Amen.
Have mercy upon them.
Amen.
It's been a difficult experience, we know. Through it, let them know you better.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we as your people in this land, we say such people, kidnappers, they will not prosper.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want them to prosper in our land.
Amen.
They will not prosper.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship, kingdom, what's that?
The grace of our Lord Jesus
Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless three people around you. Say to the person, this is your season.
This